Have you been counting? Have we got there yet? You haven't got a clue what I'm talking about, have you? 1,000 hallelujahs. And 1,000 more. Do you notice the previous song we had? Quite a number of hallelujahs. But I don't think we've got to 1,000 yet this morning.
Nobody working at it.
You weren't? We're working at it. Yes, we're working at it. Oh, next Sunday. Right, okay. That's good. Okay. What have we been saying for week after week after week after week now? It's written up there. Yes. So come on, let me say it again. I am who the Bible says I am. I can have what the Bible says I can have. And I can do what the Bible says I can do. Yes, I am. It's important. You can say, well, I'm banging the same old drum. But some tunes are classics. They stand the test of time. Why? Because they're true. The sound, the doctrine sound, they don't change. And we need to know how to play them. But also, it's we don't stick in the past. As we're saying this, as we're looking at the Word of God, we're looking and God gives us fresh revelation. So God gives us a new sound that we can sing out in the heavenlies. What are the I cans referring to with us? What are the I cans? Anybody want to answer that? Well, yeah, that's it. I was expecting some congregational participation. I know there's a number away this week, but you're just going to have to work harder. Who are you in Christ? Now, we're all coming at once. We can do all things. Christ, who strengthens us. Okay, anybody else? What are you? A son of God, a child of God. You're blessed, aren't you? Are you? Do you think you're blessed? Well, you should be. You're deeply loved by God. That's something that we've got to get hold of, haven't we? We are seen as precious in God's eyes. We may not think that about each other, but that's the way God thinks about each of us, and that's where we should be starting to think about each other. We are all precious in the sight of God. We're an heir. Oh, we've got an inheritance. We've got a job as well. You're an ambassador. Every one of you is an ambassador for God. You might not have a bowl, a hat, and a briefcase, but you're an ambassador to going out. And so it can go on. We can keep looking at the different things. But it's we need to recognize these different things. We truly need to know who we are in Christ. Who we are rooted in. Or what we are rooted on. All we do, all we have, and all that we can accomplish is through him. It's through knowing Jesus, who we are in Jesus, in Christ. So we need to be encouraged. We need to be looking forward, laying hold of these things as we're stepping out. Because what do we step out in? We step out in his authority. We step out in his power. We step out in his anointing. We step out in his wisdom. We model ourselves on or after Jesus. We've seen over the last few weeks Jesus encouraging us to look to him in our faith. Jesus telling us, I am the bread of life. Jesus saying, I'm the water of life. Jesus saying, I'm the light of the world. Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And as we saw last week, Jesus was very clear when he made that statement. He says, it actually means, I am the only way to God. I am the real truth, and I am the real life. Make no mistake about it, because God doesn't make mistakes. Every single one of you has been called, you've been chosen, you've been anointed, and you've been appointed to bear fruit. And whatever, whoever God calls, he equips. And he doesn't leave us helpless. We can say, oh, well, I don't feel up to that. That's not me. Well, God says different. And if you disagree with that, you're not calling me a liar, you're calling God a liar. And that's very dangerous ground to get onto. What is the equipping? What is this fruit that he's given us? We saw again, wasn't it? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, that's a really nice list, isn't it, of those different things? But wouldn't it be nice to, if we knew what all those things meant? Yeah, love. Gosh, look at this, really. Sacrificial. Unmerited deeds to help a needy person. Is that what you think of love is? Well, that's what the Bible references. Sacrificial, unmerited deeds to help a needy person. Joy, an inner happiness. You know, we've been looking at joy for quite a number of weeks, weren't we? And we'll keep going to keep looking at joy. An inner happiness and a dependence, and sorry, not a dependence on outward circumstances. Peace, harmony in all relationships. Patience, putting up with others. Whoa, we don't think of that, do we? Putting up with others even when one is severely tried. I'm reading. Kindness, doing thoughtful deeds for others. Goodness, showing generosity to others. Faithfulness, trustworthiness and reliability. Gentleness, meekness and humility. Self-control, victory over sinful desires. Now, that's what the fruits mean. And those fruits are for each one of us. And they're all for one reason, aren't they? The fruits of the Spirit, they're given to us for a very specific reason. But you will receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to tell people about me, both in Jerusalem, in Home on Spalding Moor, in Howden, in Goole, in Pocklington, in Market Wheaton. Where have I missed? Have I said Howden? Hull? Yes. Shall we, easy way to say, shall we say East Riding? But it also goes beyond there. It's Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. Where's the end of the earth for us now? Okay. Oh, nobody's answering that, but there we go. You know, so we're given these gifts are for other people. The fruit are for other people, for them to come to know Jesus. You will be my witnesses. Gossip in the gospel. Each and every situation can be different. Circumstances can be different. And we need to understand who we are in Christ for each of the different circumstances of different arenas and areas that we go into in life. Because every gift from God, every fruit from God can be utilized in the different circumstances and the different arenas that we find ourselves in. Jesus understood fully who he was. We need to understand fully who we are. We are in Christ. What areas and what ways have we got to get to understand? That through the understanding, through the recognition of who Jesus is in us, it's what he can do through us. Who's the limiting factor in the situation? Yes, sadly us. Yes, that's right. We're the limiting factor. We're the ones who say, I can't do that. We're the ones who say, I'm not prepared to do that. But some could say the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Yeah, we need to be looking forward. We need to be moving on. Agreeing with what God's saying and saying, yes, Lord, we don't feel that we can, but that we trust you and that we're going to step forward and do what you want us to do. We're going to step up to the plate and be the people that you've called us to be. In John's Gospel, in chapter 18, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. We know the account. Judas and a great crowd of troops, all armed to the teeth, come to arrest someone who was daily in the temple. They could have just walked up to and said, come with me. And Jesus, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, who are you seeking? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, he's just gone. He's gone that way. Didn't. He said, I am he. It's me. You're looking at me. Now when he said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, who are you seeking? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, I have told you, I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let them go their way. Jesus had to ask them twice because the impact the first time they fell over. The power of God was around him and upon him. He stepped forward and he said, that's me. He was prepared to be identified and recognize who he was. John's Gospel centers on the persons of Jesus Christ and his work. We get the I am statements throughout John. But chapter 8, we could say, is the I chapter. They bring a woman caught in adultery. In the very act, it tells us in Scripture. Notice they brought the woman. No man. She was caught in the act. There must have been a man. Would Jesus have been the same if the man had been, would done the same if the man had been there? Or was it because he recognized it was unjust? It takes two to tango. Yeah. And the woman should have been there. And Jesus, he told them, let him without sin cast the first stone. And it tells us that they all left, beginning with the eldest. Notice the wisdom of the older ones. They realized, I've sinned. And they left. And at the end, there was Jesus and the lady stood. And Jesus asked her, where are they? All these people that condemned you, where are they? There was none there. He says, nobody's condemning you. Neither do I. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. From here, from 11, I know there's the verse 11b up to 30, we see a number of I's and I am's. So we've got there, neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I come from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet, if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is all also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of myself. Then they said to him, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would also know my Father. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself because he says, where I go, you cannot come? And he said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Then they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world these things which I heard from him. They didn't understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. How many then? How many I's? How many I am's? A lot. I've counted them up. There were 16 I's and 11 I am's in 20 verses. I reckon Jesus knows who he is and what he's called to do, and he's confident in who he is. Do we know what we're called to do? Are we confident in what we've got to do? Many times Jesus used absolute statements, I or I am. John 6, Jesus walks on the water. We see it's rough and there's strong winds. And Jesus is walking. It tells us he's approaching the boat. And they're frightened. The disciples are frightened. The Amplified says, terribly frightened. And Jesus said, it is I. Don't be afraid. Well, that's helpful, isn't it, if it's in the dark and you don't know who's coming? You're frightened because there's a figure approaching? It is I. You know, years ago, we had a young man who used to ring us up quite regularly, basically just to talk things through. And he would never say who he was. And you'd pick the phone up, give the number. Hello? 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 Who is this, please? It's me. Have you had conversations like that? So that's really helpful. Who's me? And they got to one stage, because I mean, if you've got a sore throat or something, you don't sound the same. And anyway, a bit like Jesus said to me, it's I. I'm approaching. You've got to know. But Jesus is talking, and we see it's the I or the I ams of Jesus. And when he's actually saying that, he's going way back to Exodus 3, where God says, my name is I am. And Jesus knows who he is. He's God, or the Son of God. And he can speak out and say, I or I am. The Jewish people should have recognized that. They were steeped in their scriptures. They knew Exodus off by heart. And yet still, they don't recognize. Oh, just turn up John 8. John 8, verse 23. Going back to what I was reading there. You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Yeah? Jesus, very clear, he knows where he's come from, he knows where he is. It's a clear statement. And if you don't believe in me, you're going to be dead in your sins. He knows exactly what he's come for, to save us from our sins. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's the truth that Jesus brought to us. And then we look at verse 28. When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. Jesus is telling the disciples, telling the people around, telling the Pharisees, he knew the way he was going to die. And this is way before it happens. He definitely knows who he is. They should have known who he is, yet they still will not believe him. They'll not recognize him. Again, we see in verse 58, Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Very clear. You can't get much clearer than that. Abraham was 2,000 years before Christ, roughly, give or take a year. They understood then the I am. What's happened? They're not understanding the I am, that Jesus, or they're not admitting that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus knew he was God and was clearly telling them so. Now, from our point of view, I know it's really bad English. That's what I was taught when we're writing something. We don't keep referring to I when you're writing a sentence or writing a paragraph. You don't do that. Because when we're saying I all the time or I am all the time, we're drawing attention to ourselves. And really, we shouldn't be drawing attention to ourselves all the time, should we? And you know, when we're thinking, when we're drawing attention to ourselves, seeking attention, that's a form of pride. We're saying, look at me, aren't I good? But that's not if you're Jesus. Jesus is leading by example. He is saying and is still saying, look to me. I'm the author and perfecter of your faith. Come unto me. In him we live and move and have our being. And Jesus is following God's example. Jesus is quoting as well what he spoke out in the Word of God. How many times have over the last few years said Psalm 91? And when we look at the last section of Psalm 91, verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore, this is God speaking, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. There's a good few eyes that God says he wants to give us for us to recognize them. Jesus is doing and teaching. How do we teach our children? It's we model the lifestyle. We tell them what to do. They learn by watching us. And often, they pick up the bad things quicker than the good things. Yeah? But then we model our lifestyles. Yeah? Who in here hasn't actually said, "Oh, that sounded just like me dad. I just like me mum." That's a sign we're maturing. Yes. It's the impression that they've had on us. It's the influence they've had on us. Sometimes it's subconscious that we take it in. And sometimes we've been conditioned into a particular way. What we've been told, what we've been modeled, what we've been shown, we put into practice. And Jesus is saying he wants that to be happening. He wants us to look to him and follow him. When we look at John 15, another I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. We've got here, Jesus is speaking, he's teaching the ordinary people. Let's remember, these are ordinary people he's talking to. They were fishermen, they were farmers. They lived off the land. Vineyards were a way of life. It tells us in one part where they were each going to sit under their own vine. So they would have to know what to do with it, wouldn't they? Yeah. And Jesus is speaking metaphorically here when he says, I am the vine. So it's use our imaginations again. What do we see? Jesus saying, I'm the vine. Can you picture Jesus as the vine? We've already seen that Jesus said he was the real truth. So Jesus is the vine. Father God is the vine dresser. I don't know who's read Bruce Wilkinson's Secrets of the Vine. It's a really good book on this passage. And if anybody's got my copy, can I have it back, please? Yeah. It illustrates how Father God cares for the vine and for each branch. And bearing in mind, those branches are you and me. When we come into hardship or difficulties, problems in life, we could say, that's God pruning us to teach us, to make us to be more fruitful. We've got the influence of Jesus. Another parable that Jesus taught was in Luke 13, the parable of the fig tree. The owner comes in. 3 years I've looked at that and there's been no fruit on it. Chop it out and take it away. The keeper says, no, we'll dig round it. Give it another chance. One more year. God gives us those extra chances. Jesus does this for us. And they're modeling an Old Testament thing as well, aren't they? When Moses was speaking with God, when God was absolutely fed up with the people's behavior, he said, I'm just going to kill this lot and I'm going to make a new nation out of you. And Moses, don't do that, God. Don't do that. I don't want that. Save the people. God give them another chance in the carry. In verse 5 there it says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me he can do nothing. Sorry, that's the wrong verse. But then it goes on about cutting the branch off. One of the things that Bruce Wilkinson found out when he was doing his research into the vineyards, because he went and spent time in the Middle Eastern vineyards, you know, when he was researching the book, a branch is too valuable to cut off straight away. The branches are what bear the fruit. And more often than not, the branches that don't bear the fruit are the bottom branches because they're trailing in the dirt. So a good vine dresser will come along and carefully, lovingly wash the leaves, wash the vine, and then tie it up off the ground, support it, and give it another chance. We're too valuable for God to just say, cut them off and chuck them away. God's given us another chance. God says, come on, let me wash you clean. Let me support you, pick you up off the ground, and give you another chance. Come on, your turn now to respond to me. Because you're too valuable just to throw away. Jesus tells us very clearly, I am the vine. You've got to abide in me. If you abide in me, you will bear fruit. But he also says, without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out. So we've got the opportunity, we're given the choice. We can actually abide and bear much fruit, or we can be cast out. And as we bear fruit, Father's glorified. That's the aim. That's the goal. That should be our desire. To bear fruit. Why? Not so we look good and we can actually notch the sticks for how many people have made we've led to Christ. It's so we can glorify Dad. We can glorify Father God. Because remember, God says, you didn't choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed and I anointed you to go and to bear fruit. Every one of us in this room is chosen by God. So let us embrace with those who we are in Christ. Let us embrace the idea that we want our minds transformed, that we are open to God to have His way. Let us be like Jesus as we look to Jesus and God, because Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing, and I speak what I hear the Father saying. Let's get hold of the truth that God truly loves us, and He wants us close to Him in relationship with Him. Let us embrace, as Ephesians 3:12, look, saw this week, and it's just, this is the NIV, because it's, I think it's worded in such a lovely way. In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. The other versions don't actually word it. That's just a nice ring to that. The Amplified puts it, our faith gives us sufficient courage to freely and openly approach God through Christ. Let's remember the branches, that's us. We get nourishment from being attached to the stem and the root, and that's Jesus. It's one of the songs we sing, Lord, we need Thee, oh, we need Thee. Let us keep our eyes on Jesus, our faces set to Him, our focus on Him, so we can see what Father's doing. In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Father, we know that in measure. Help us to keep learning. Help us to keep growing. Help us to have fresh revelation from You, Lord, so that we can be the new sound that You want in this era. Thank You, Lord. Amen.